Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's Sparky Fiverr, 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout here on The Fan from the Wendy's Studios. Have you tried the Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart? It's the new go-to breakfast treat to satisfy those morning cravings, and now it's available all day. That's right. It's got all the flavors you love from Cinnabon, like that warm, sweet cinnamon sugar roll dough, the perfect ooey, gooey texture, and a dollop of that signature cream cheese frosting. Get your day off to a sweet start or a late-night sweet treat with Wendy's Cinnabon Pull-Apart. Joining us now is Matthew Trueblood, writer and managing editor of Brewer Fanatic. Follow him on Twitter at M.A. Trueblood. And, of course, this Milwaukee Sports Timeout is brought to you by the Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee. They're about to change what it means to bet big and bet bold with a huge video wall seating for over 200, an expanded food menu, and more. The new Potawatomi Sportsbook is the ultimate sports fan experience. The state-of-the-art venue opens up this May. Matthew, let's talk about a recent article you just wrote on William Contreras and his pitching framing stats are way down this year compared to last year when, you know, he was at the top of Major League Baseball. Can you tell us what's changed or what's different with William Contreras?
Yeah, definitely. And it may turn out not to be a huge thing. With anything that's happening five games into a season, you don't want to overstate it. But one of the nice things about pitch framing numbers is that they stabilize quickly. So we know that there's a little bit of something to it when there's a big change, like going from one of the best to one of the worst at this. And in breaking down the video, what I really see with Contreras so far is a little less maybe stability in his setup and a little bit of difficulty with timing what's become the state of the art in pitch framing, which is to really come through the ball as you catch it and end up with the arm fully locked out, fully extended in front of you, and holding it in the center of the zone. But you have to do that with a smooth motion. You have to not let the umpire see you make a hitch or sort of really scoop up the ball. There's a lot of skill to that, and the Brewers are the best team in the league at teaching it. Contreras got really good at it last year, but there are still certain pitches on which he struggles, on which a lot of catchers struggle. And early this year, that timing has been a little off. It hasn't been as smooth, and umpires are picking up on it.
You know, the one thing with this year with Contreras, I think that's probably going to hamper him a little bit is just how new and different kind of this staff is in the aspect of, and I think it was Pat Murphy talking about the fact of they don't got guys that necessarily have reputations for going 6-7 innings regularly. You have Peralta, you have Miley, and then after that, everybody else is going to kind of have to be built up over the course of time, which means that bullpen, which will be a revolving door down in the minor leagues, also will be bringing new faces up left and right, which I would think has to make it tougher for him.
Yeah, and in talking to Murph at spring training in Arizona, he mentioned that Contreras was pushing to be in the lineup way more often than you'd normally have your regular catcher playing during Cactus League action. And that was exactly the reason. He wanted to be working with this pitching staff that's seen a lot of turnover, that he knows will involve a whole lot of just the raw number of pitchers he's going to be working with. It's going to be very large this year. So he's putting in that work. He's aware of the issues that might raise and is working diligently on it, but it might take a little while for the everything to smooth out just because, yeah, he's going to be working with four or five pitchers within a game somewhat often.
Were you kind of surprised that they moved on from Haas versus keeping him, considering Gary Sanchez hasn't really caught at all?
You know, Sanchez, while it was a strange sort of spring training for him with the late signing that was then delayed by the injury sort of snag in the contract, ultimately, that injury was holding him back from hitting more than it was from catching. He was getting catching reps in simulated games even before the Cactus League got underway. I think they were pretty comfortable with him as a catcher, almost more so than as a regular hitter coming into the regular season. So it didn't shock me that ultimately they made this decision. I thought that when Garrett Mitchell went down, they might use that as a way to just keep Haas around and see what they could do for a couple of weeks. And I wonder if they even might have, if they didn't get the sense that they'd be able to sneak Haas through waivers right now. Whereas if they did have to farm him out in 3 weeks, he might have been claimed and not gotten to Nashville, which is what ultimately happened. Now they still have him in the organization, and I wouldn't be surprised if we still see Eric Haas before the year is out.
Let's talk about the outfield situation. You brought up the Garrett Mitchell injury, which that meant Sal Frelick got to go back to the outfield. Churio's been in right field. Yelich has been in left field. Obviously, Joey Weimer is down at AAA. Once they get Garrett Mitchell back here in the month of May, are we to assume that Frelick will then be on a platoon at third with Joey Ortiz?
That'd be my best guess, yeah. I don't think the Frelick at third base thing was a gimmick, and I think right up until the Mitchell injury, we were going to see a lot of him at third.
Yep.
Obviously, they'll mix and match in a lot of different sort of unusual ways once Mitchell returns because they'll have such a malleable roster. But I definitely think we'll start seeing Frelick, even if it's not a straight platoon, he may play a little bit less than the long side of a platoon at third and a little bit still in the outfield, maybe spelling Yelich, that kind of thing. But we'll start to see that on a semi-regular basis as soon as Mitchell gets healthy, assuming that happens.
You can tell Matthew Trueblood writes and does not do radio because he used the word malleable, which I've never used in my entire life, and I'm 47. So I praise you for the use of your vocabulary, Matthew Trueblood. Let's talk a little bit about that infield with Joey Ortiz. I think that you could still get Ortiz at bats if you want because you can simply play him at third. If Frelick's there, you can give Adames a day off and play him at short. You can give Terang a day off and play him at second. And you can still be able to get him his at bats even if Frelick is playing a bunch at third.
Yeah. And Pat Murphy loved Joey Ortiz, especially defensively in spring action. And I don't think they're going to let him get lost in the shuffle. At the same time, there is a squeeze that's going to come into play there. You know, I'm sure that when Mitchell comes back, the person who will be farmed out is Oliver Dunn because he'll be the real odd man out for significant playing time. But Joey Ortiz will have a harder time, especially if Bryce Tarrant keeps up what we've seen earlier this year. I think the easiest path to playing time for him would have been if Tarrant continued to struggle to produce anything at the plate as he did for the second half of last year. But so far, he's looking awfully good. So that's going to not foreclose those routes, and certainly when there's a lefty on the mound, a bunch of ways for Ortiz to get into the lineup, but the rest of the time it's going to be a little thinner.
I think it's the conversation is simple. If you know you get to June and Terang is playing well and Frelick playing well and the Brewers are playing well and he's not getting his at bats, it's just sitting him down and saying, look man, I mean, you don't got to be a rocket scientist to know we're not going to be able to afford to sign Willie here. You're here to eventually be the shortstop of this baseball team going forward after this year. Just hang in there. I know you're not getting the at-bats that you'd like, but you will get more than enough playing time after this year. I think at some point that conversation might have to happen if he doesn't get the at-bats.
Yeah, and Ortiz has been patient already. You know, I think with a lot of organizations, he would have played in the big leagues a significant portion of last year. But with Gunnar Henderson and Jordan Westberg of the prospects sort of in front of him in line in Baltimore, he's been blocked off. So he knows that feeling. He understands the process. And we also know that, you know, things happen. Injuries happen. I don't think we can totally rule out a Willy Adames trade still, although I certainly think the probabilities have dwindled there. But one way or another, Ortiz will eventually get his playing time. And he's shown maturity about the situation up to this point.
Time with Matthew Trueblood. Follow him on Twitter at MA Trueblood. Follow Brewer Fanatic at Brewer_Fanatic. I also want to get into what we were talking about before, which is this pitching staff and this bullpen specifically. You know, the back end of that bullpen, I think you feel pretty good about at this point. When you start talking about those middle innings, are you feeling as comfortable with some of those guys in the middle innings in relief work behind this starting pitching staff that probably isn't going to give you consistently six or seven innings like we discussed?
Yeah, I think they still amassed admirable depth. There are some guys that they have not even had to turn to yet, who I think can contribute really impressively out of the sort of underbelly of a big league bullpen. At the same time, there's more pressure on everyone with each mounting injury or person who struggles. And it laid bare a little bit for me when Trevor Megill had this very unfortunate and scary injury.
Most bizarre thing I've ever heard of in my life. And he did it in a store, in a public place on top of it. It wasn't even like, you know, he did it at home and everybody's going to speculate whether or not he's telling you the truth. He did it in broad daylight.
Right. And I mean, it's scary and it's really unfortunate because Megill has looked phenomenal going all the way back to really late last July. So he was a key cog, especially with Devin Williams already sidelined. Now you're definitely starting to have to slide. Some of those guys we could think of as middle relievers are now something much closer to setup men. So there is pressure mounting there, but I really trust some of the depth they've assembled, and it's hard not to trust Chris Hook and his staff. They've done a terrific job turning guys who don't even look like all that much into pretty special pitchers.
What kind of faith do you have in one DL Hall for this year?
Oh, it depends on the day, which I think is the problem. I think that's the way a lot of people end up feeling when they follow Hall over any stretch of time. The stuff looked tremendous in Arizona, and then it came north, and right away he looked a little bit, maybe it was tightness, maybe it was nerves, you know, in New York. Certainly it was cold the day of his first start, but the velocity was just not there. In fact, he wasn't even touching 95 the way you'd expect him to. You know, if he's going to sit 92, 93, his fastball has some other unique characteristics, and that's okay as a starter. But he either has to have finer command of his whole repertoire or at least be able to push that fastball up to 96 when he gets in trouble. He didn't even do that in his first start. So we're going to be looking for either executing much better on the secondary offerings, getting them competitive and not leaving them in the heart of the zone, or, again, ramping up and finding the velocity he showed as a reliever last year, even if he can't sit there. You got to be able to touch there, add and subtract on the fastball.
I agree with you 100%. That was the one thing that stood out to me. I was texting my buddies like, I thought he threw harder than this. And so I was a little bit concerned about that. Now, the other guy that's a flamethrower that's in the minors still is Jacob Mizorowski. What can you tell us about him? How far away do you think he is?
It depends on the role they're going to need him in. And I think that's the key thing for him is the fastball and slider are wow pitches. Anything else in his repertoire, he doesn't even seem overwhelmingly committed to adding a third pitch to his repertoire.
Oh,
he's got stuff.
You
know, he's got a changeup. He's got a curveball. Neither one's impressive, and they're not his focus at the moment, which I think is probably okay because the Brewers have communicated, hey, we want you to find the strike zone consistently with that fastball. We want you to know how to set up the slider with that fastball. So those are the things he's going to focus on the most at the moment. To me, that says they're envisioning, you know, June, July, calling up Jacob Mizorowski, not as a starter, but maybe as a multi-inning mega weapon in the bullpen. And in that role, he could be here soon, and he could stick for a long time.
This feels
if they want
like
him to be more than that, it's a lot longer of a horizon.
This feels like Josh Hader to me. I mean, that's what this feels like. Now, maybe I'm crazy, but, I mean, Hader wanted to be a starter the whole time. And they're like, oh, yeah, you're still in our plans, still in our plans. And then finally, like, yeah, no, we're lying. You're just going to be in our bullpen. Is that kind of his future? Or do you think there is a chance that he eventually does get into that starting role?
I wouldn't rule out a starting role, but definitely I would bet on reliever. If I'm betting today, I think he's a future reliever. I think he's a monster there.
Right.
And pretty soon. But again, there's still the possibility it would just take. I don't think we're going to see him be a successful big league starter until at least the middle of 2025.
All right, there you go. He is Matthew Trueblood. Again, follow him on Twitter at MA Trueblood. Check out their great work at Brewer_Fanatic. Tell us what people can find now if they go to Brewer Fanatic today.
We got a lot of stuff flowing. We've brought on Jack Stern, who's going to cover some games for us in person throughout the year at AmFam Field. Today we've got a feature on Christian Yelich and some of the changes he's made in pitch selection to unlock the production we saw last year. And a whole lot of coverage of the minor leagues, prospects. We're going to be on all those beats throughout the season.
And you guys got that message board still going that BrewerFan.net had years ago too, right?
Yeah, we are born of BrewerFan.net. That is the core of the community, and we've sort of built all of this that you see when you go there now out around it.
Those were my people, man. Back in the day, we used to do we did a couple events with those guys. I loved the guys over at BrewerFan.net, and a lot of them have gone on to be very successful in other parts of the baseball industry. So glad that it kept on going, and you guys are doing a great job over there. And of course, we have Tim Muma on all the time, who's a friend of mine, and he does great work too. Again, check him out at Brewer_Fanatic. Matthew Trueblood on Twitter at MATrueblood. Matthew, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.